Welcome back to the Craft House in Fairfax, where we are live for Field Trip Friday, the third installment. We're going to be doing this every Friday, out and about with you guys all football season long. We're really excited about it. We're here till 6:30 today, so come on out and kick it with us.
This place rules. The space is awesome, plenty of packing, and the food is delicious. I just got jealous. Our guy Christian, who's not Nolan's Christian, who's flying us all about the country, but our guy Christian from the station had just ordered some churros.
Churros.
God, I'm like, every time I see someone else with those, I get so jelly. I get so jealous of
that.
There
could be churros in your future.
I think I'm going to have to get some.
The day is very young. I was asking earlier about the wings here. I said, should I try the wings? And the guy's like, yeah, try the wings. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to start with the wings, but we're here for a lot of hours.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say I'm not going to get the wings at some point.
Did you ever see that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis starring There Will Be Wings? It's a Grant Paulson story.
It was a really good, yeah.
I eat your wings. Like, that was the whole movie.
My wife normally doesn't watch movies where there's a lot of wings. But in that particular instance, because it was Daniel Day-Lewis, she's like, all right, I normally don't like wing movies, but let's watch this
one. It's a story of Grant when he goes to sports bars and pubs and any place, really, where he's like, I have a hat. I eat your milkshake wings. Wings. That was the movie.
3 o'clock today, coming up in 35 minutes, Daryl Slater of NewJersey.com is going to be joining us to scout the Giants. He will get us inside the locker room with the opponent, who's going to be playing, who isn't going to be playing, and what is that matchup going to look like for Washington. That's coming up at 3 o'clock right here on The Fan. Remember, as you get out here, to come on up and find us at our front table. We've got some first-come, first-served gear from our 106.7 The Fan merch shop we're giving out as well. So it is a good day on a Friday to get out of the office and to come talk football with us.
Gorgeous out. Come on.
Let's get to the matchup, though, because I was talking to a few people yesterday after the show, and they said, what I want to see this weekend is the Commanders improve in the red zone. So I start doing a little digging.
Mm-hmm.
You'll remember that the Giants' red zone performance was the worst of the season, worse than even this past week. Washington statistically was 0-for-6 in the red zone against the G-men in week 2. Now, I think that's a little misleading, because one of those red zone trips is at the end of the game where they basically decide to just run out the clock. But let's say it's actually 0-for-5.
Mm-hmm.
Still a disaster.
Yep.
The Giants statistically are the fifth best red zone defensive team in the league. They are third in goal to go when you get inside the 10-yard line. That's where they have really bowed up and been very formidable this season. I think a big part of that is their pass rush. Going back and watching the last couple games, their D coordinator, Shane Bowen, dials up perfectly timed blitzes. When you get into what Kyle Shanahan calls that strike zone, 30 and in the red zone, 20 and in, second down and obvious pass, clearly third and long, he's dialing it up. They've sacked quarterbacks, forced field goals. This might not be the week where they really get going in the red zone, but the flip side of that is, it's not really like defenses have gotten the better of them. It's that they've beaten themselves with penalties.
It's been the mistakes, whether it's procedural or formation-wise, or, you know, the operation all of a sudden becomes cluttered or disorganized. They got themselves to blame in those Giant situations. And then this past week as well, not converting when they were down there. I mean, you're second and one at the goal line, then I can't remember if it was the delay of game or the false start, backs them up, changes everything, and then settle for a field goal, and the rest is, you know, is how the game went. But to me, that's obviously a huge deal, is being even okay in the red zone, because you're getting there a lot. That's the beauty. You're moving the football as good or better than anybody in the sports. You're going to have opportunities. Can you convert a couple times? I think a couple times will be enough, honestly, against the Giants. For me, the concern is that disastrous offensive thing hasn't happened. I don't mean a bunch of punts. I mean the thing that happens all the time in this league. Great pass rushing teams like the Giants, and they are. That's the one thing they can hang their hat on. The sack, fumble, strip sack, etc. Jaden Daniels has 3 fumbles. I think one of them is that first pass of the year that's credited as that weird backwards thing that didn't go real well.
Is he still listed at 3 fumbles?
It's 3 fumbles.
All 3 of those were in the Tampa game in week 1.
Yeah.
Do you know that? He had 3 fumbles in week 1. That means he has not fumbled since.
I didn't realize it was all 3.
That's amazing.
So there you go. And my point is, and that's not oh my God, Jaden Daniels is due for a bad play. It's the sport, man. It happens to everybody. And so the fact that there's going to be pressure, and the Giants got to Jaden Daniels in that first game, especially in the first half. In the second half, one of the plays that went down as a sack, he's in the backfield, in the grasp of somebody, somehow wiggles out of it and turns it into a lesser sack. Instead of a 12-yard loss, it was a 2-yard loss by the sideline. But amazing stuff just to get out of danger. Well, sometimes those dangerous plays end up hitting, right, in a bad way. So that's my big concern here, is the Giants' offense not doing as much. I don't think they can, but it's that defense with those hunters that they have in terms of the pass rush making one of those big plays that, you know, it happens in this league all the time.
Rushing yards per play, the Giants are dead last. What I feel best about in this game is that the Commanders are going to be able to just line up and run the football however they want to. I think Brian Robinson downhill will be a win in this game. I think hitting on some of the jet action stuff around the edge, if they want to give it to Zacchaeus or McLaurin, I think they'll be able to hit a play or two there, get the Giants moving horizontally. The teeth of the defense, the interior is pretty strong for New York. But I think if they, you know, gun runs off the edge with Eckler, some of that stretch stuff we used to call the Chris Thompson looks, right?
Yep.
Outside zone, out of shotgun, all those things. I think they'll have whatever they want in the running game. The key is going to be turning that into then getting some big chunks in the passing game down the field. But where I feel best about this game is actually Washington's ability to run the football. And that means Jaden Daniels too, frankly.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground against the team that has been the worst defensively at stopping the run. 5.43 yards per attempt given up by the Giants. But you mentioned their pass rush. This is my concern. And that's the question. We'll get to the calls in a second. 800-636-1067. What do you feel best about? What do you feel worst about this weekend? What I feel most nervous about, they have done such a good job protecting Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Now you're going up against the team that has the most sacks in the NFL. They sack the quarterback on 15% of plays right now. And it starts in the middle with Dexter Lawrence, who's the new Aaron Donald.
That's a bad dude, man.
He is the best defensive tackle right now in the National Football League. Now, they might be okay with Cosme at right guard, Allegretti at left guard, and Biadasz at center. But that means two of them are working on him.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means you're going one-on-one elsewhere. First game where Brandon Coleman is going to start and play every single snap because Cornelius Lucas has already been ruled out. He's going up against Brian Burns. Four sacks, last 4 weeks, won every single game. He's got a sack in five of his last six. This is my issue, is it becomes a math problem. You always talk about it like plugging a dam or
yep.
kind of putting your finger in the hole and now the water comes out somewhere else. Okay, so let's make sure Lawrence doesn't beat us. Well, now you got one-on-one with Burns with Coleman and his biggest challenge yet in terms of snaps and workload. Something's going to give, and I worry about the pass rush of New York against this offensive line, which has been very, very good.
This is the story of the game to me. If Washington handles that and limits those negative plays, stays ahead of the sticks as they've had, as they have, rather, for the majority of the season, that's good first down plays. Not necessarily just runs on first down. You don't have to go 1985 football style. But as long as you are positive stuff, whether it's flipping it to Eckler, you know, getting Ertz involved on first down, just moving the football and being ahead of the sticks, I think it limits that pass rush because that pass rush is good. We haven't mentioned Azeez Ojulari yet. He's got six sacks. That would lead to a lot of teams, and that's their third pass rush option. That is a really good pass rushing team. So that's my number one concern. You handle that group, eliminate the negative. If you just line up and not screw up against them, you win the football game, right? It doesn't have to be style points every week. It doesn't always have to be a 30-point blowout. I mean, it's nice when it is, and it's fun when it is, and you feel good about it. But you might have to escape with this one in that weird stadium with bad turf, where they don't seem to play well. Just have one of those grown-up, gritty wins right here. You can line up and push them. As long as you don't beat yourself, I think you win the football game.
I hate the turf in the Meadowlands, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up. They're actually showing here at the Kraft House in Fairfax Corner on some of the screens last night's Thursday night football game. The Jets and the Texans is being replayed, it looks like, on network.
Yep.
And there was a moment in that game where C.J. Stroud went down pretty much non-contact, was grabbing at his leg. And for a moment I thought,
oh, no.
Please, no.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the great stars, young stars in the league. One of my favorite quarterbacks to watch, but one of the best young QBs in the sport. He ended up being fine and coming back in. But that's what happens on this turf. Anytime anybody goes down with any issue, you're just fearing the worst. And I don't know how or why they haven't changed it more than they have. They've made some tweaks to it. But ask a player.
Yeah.
You know, look at any of the NFL PA data. I mean, the guys hate playing on that surface. That is something, I guess, if you want to talk about biggest concerns and most nerves going into the weekend, I guess should be on the list. But let's hit the phones. MGM National Harbor listener lines. We want to know from you guys, what are you most nervous about? Is Washington is a road favorite trying to get to 2-0 in the division, 7-2 overall. We'll go out to College Park and talk to Alex on line three. Alex, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it, bro.
So my So I have two worries really going into this week. My first one, really just the secondary in general, but particularly anytime Benjamin St. Juice is on the field. That game last week was really exciting, but just like 1 minute before, I was screaming at the TV for that PI at the end. So that's like probably my biggest concern. But then also another big concern I have is just if Daniel Jones has one of those Daniel Jones gems against Washington that he does. His career totals against Washington are just so much better than any other team. It's ridiculous. But, those are my two biggest concerns going to this week, definitely.
You take the Daniel Jones point, Danny. I'll talk about the idea of St. Juiced.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, in his career against Washington, has been a Pro Bowl quarterback. Against everybody else, with the exception, I think, one time they played Detroit when they were one in a million, he's been pedestrian or worse. The numbers are staggering. They're jaw-dropping compared to the rest of the time. It's double-digit touchdowns, a couple more on the ground. I think it's 12 TDs, three picks, another nearly 400 rushing yards, almost twice as many as he has against any other opponent that includes the Eagles, Cowboys, etc. It hasn't mattered. He's been outstanding against Washington. Career, 69% completion percentage, 1,688 yards, 12 touchdowns, three picks, 360 yards rushing, another touchdown in that regard. He has been dynamite against Washington for whatever reason.
What's always hilarious to me, too, is it really doesn't matter what he's doing before or after that game.
Mm-hmm.
So last time they played Washington, remember, the calls were out of New York to bench Daniel Jones coming off of an ACL injury because he was so bad in week one that it just looked like they were broken on offense. And he kind of got right again. He had a couple of touchdowns.
He looked fine. Game.
He has had bigger games. He's had games where he had a quarter of his season-long touchdown passes, like four touchdown games. It has been pretty staggering. Specific to the Benjamin St. Juiced matchup thing, I actually like BSJ in this game against the Giants. Here's what I mean by that. I think this is a game where you give Malik Nabers whatever he wants underneath. So if you look at Malik Nabers statistically this year, he has had some monster games. I love this kid. Have loved him since LSU. But he went 10 for 127 against Washington on 18 targets, which you don't hear of. You don't see that. They scored 18 points and lost.
Yep.
A couple weeks later, 12 catches for 115 against Dallas. They scored 15 points and lost. So if they're going to feed him the football on those crossers, those drags, the smoke throws out to the boundary, let him do it. If they want to give him 14, 15 targets, tackle him. Make sure there's no 40-plus yard gain after the catch, right? But I would give him those catches and targets. He averages 10 yards per reception this year. That is like athletic tight end territory.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So do that. Make sure Darius Slayton doesn't beat you for 45 at some point on a deep post. Make sure they don't get Jalen Hyatt. I barely remember the guy's name, but I'm pretty sure that's who it is, who they drafted really early a couple of years ago, who they never play, who's a speed burner. Make sure that guy's not getting behind you for a home run.
Yep.
That would be my philosophy. So Nabers, I think you find a way to kind of give his and make stops. And on the other side, I think the matchup's better for St. Juice with his size and his length to go with Slayton or to try to match up with maybe one of their more physical, bigger receivers on the other side of Malik Nabers. That's kind of how I would do it.
That's how they were doing it more or less, I think, starting right around Giants week, okay, as this defense was getting beat a lot. I mean, I remember being at the Cincinnati game with you and our buddies Kondorian Mora and company, and Jamar Chase was singled up, and I go, touchdown, because it was obvious. They left a guy on an island one time, and it was a 60-plus yard tutty. So they basically eliminated that. They said, we are going to play soft, too deep, big shells, high, away from the line of scrimmage, let's let everybody deal underneath. And then you saw Nabers, of course, thrive in that kind of regard. So they basically eliminated putting guys on an island. I would guess you do that again. If you don't give the Giants anything easy, you just let them self-destruct. You let them screw up. They cannot wait to screw up. They cannot wait to have a blown protection. They cannot wait to commit a false start or a hold or something to derail that drive. There's going to be an execution problem. Let them.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We are out and about for stop number three of our Friday field trip series. We're at Craft House Fairfax in Fairfax Corner. We'll be here until 6:30. So as you get out of the office, come on by, say hello. We've got some 1067 The Fan merch store gear for you as you get here. First come, first serve. They got delicious food, cold, wonderful beverages, and a lot of football banter to be had with a lot of Commanders fans who will be out here all day long as we get ready to see the boys try to get to 7-2 in the Meadowlands. Next, let's look around the NFL. What are our five favorite games on the slate this weekend? You're listening to G&D.